Hey, y'all, welcome to Diamond and Silk, the podcast. We're your hosts, Diamond and Silk, and Silk on Silk.
Diamond on Diamond.
Okay, before we get started, I want you to stop right now.
Yeah.
And I want you to subscribe to this podcast so each time we drop a new episode, you will receive a notification.
Uh-huh.
And don't forget about our book, Uprising, Who the Hell Said You Can't Ditch and Switch? The Awakening of Diamond and Silk. You can get the book at diamondandsilkbookstore.com.
And if you're sick and tired of all of this censorship happening with these different social media platforms, then go on over there to Diamond and Silk new social media platform called Chatit, ChatiT.com.
Well, Silk,
yes,
I love conversations.
Yes.
I love beautiful conversations.
Beautiful conversations.
Well, we had the opportunity to talk to Eric Metastas. Mm-hmm. He have a book called Fish Out of Water.
Yes.
We talked to him about that book and about so much more.
Yes.
So I want you all to join the conversation with Eric Metastas and Diamond and Silk. So we're here with Eric Metastas, and he has a new book out called Fish Out of Water.
Yeah.
So, Eric, please. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
I'm thrilled to be here. I love the two of you, as you already knew, and it's my joy. Thanks for having me.
Wow. Okay. So, Eric, let's just jump right into the conversation.
Yes.
The name of the book is Fish Out of Water.
Mm-hmm.
What was the motivation behind just that title?
Yes.
That's easy. I'll tell you. I was, it's the story of my life in a way up until around my 25th birthday, where I had a profound, miraculous experience with God. I don't say that lightly. I don't just mean, oh, it was a blessing. I mean, it was a miracle, and I needed a miracle because I was lost. I didn't know if you could even believe God is real. If you're educated, you can't believe that. So it was a total miracle, and it involved the symbol of a fish, which in the early Christians used to use the symbol of a fish for Jesus, because the Greek word, I'm Greek, for fish was ichthys. And they use it like an acronym, Jesus Christos Theos Imon Sotir, means Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. So it had this profound meaning. And the end of the book, I get to how Jesus is the fish out of water. And it blew my mind in a way that you have to read the book. The reason I wrote the book was so people can understand when they get to the end, the meaning of the dream. But I really was looking for meaning. I was lost, you know, and I had a profound, profound experience. And I, you know, I defy anyone to say, oh, you just made it up or whatever. I mean, it was real. And it proved to me God is real, and God wants to be real for everybody, not just me or you guys, whatever, but we need him. And sometimes we're very skeptical or whatever. So ultimately, that's the title of the book, Fish Out of Water. But my story is also that I was a fish out of water growing up in these different contexts, which I can tell you about. But I always felt like I didn't belong. I felt like a fish out of water. So that's my story up until the end. And then the fish out of water is God.
Yeah, I saw where you talked about your struggle to make sense of the world in which you never quite fit in. And, you know, when you say fish out of water, you never quite fit in it. Where did that come from? Was it about your upbringing? Where did that come from?
Well, it was not like some big trauma, but it was just that my parents came from Europe. My dad came from Greece. My mom came from Germany. And I always joke around, if you're raised by a Greek and a German, that means you will be raised Greek 100%, because the Greek is so dominant as an ethnicity. So we went to the Greek church.
Okay.
I went to Greek Orthodox parochial school, wearing the uniform and everything. And I was born here in New York. It was in Queens, where our president Trump was born, right in Queens. And that was my experience. But because my mother was German, we spoke English at home. We didn't speak Greek. And all the kids in the Greek environment, they're 100% Greek. Their parents speak Greek. All their food is Greek food and whatever. So I never really felt like I fit in. And then when we moved to Connecticut, to like, you know, middle America, I really didn't feel like I fit in there because my parents are really European. So I didn't play baseball or I didn't do any of this stuff. And my life is a series of incidents where I never quite fit in. It wasn't, as I said, traumatic, but it really shaped me.
Right.
And it doesn't get traumatic until I get out of college, when I'm lost looking for the meaning of life and pretty convinced that you can't find the meaning of life. People say they know God or whatever. They're just like, you know, out of their minds. They're kidding themselves. So I ended up being in a dark place, but of course it's a happy ending. And that's why I wanted to write the story, because it's for everybody.
Okay. So let's go back to the fit in part. So did you expect, or did you think that you needed to fit in with people, like having a group of people, having a lot of friends?
I really never quite fit in the way that, you know, with a popular group or anything like that. And it's just, I mean, I have to be honest, a lot of the stories in the book are funny, and they're meant to be funny because they're true. And, you know, sometimes you don't ask for something to happen. It just happens. And I had one crazy story after the other. And because I'm a writer, I said, someday I have to write this down. People won't believe these stories. They're insane, but they're true. So it's a lot of stuff that's funny, but of course, at the same time, I'm trying to make sense of life growing up. You know, I grew up in the Greek community, went to church every Sunday, but we never really got the gospel. We never really got the lowdown on this is real and whatever. So by the time I went to college, I didn't know what I believed. And if you go to a place like Yale University, which is where I went, you know, you think, oh, I've arrived. And then you get there and you realize they don't really believe in this God stuff. And they're very anti-conservative. So, you know, my father raised me to hate communism. My mother raised me to hate communism because they grew up in Europe. They tasted this. They believed in good and evil. They were always, they loved the loved America, or whatever. And you go to a place like Yale and you realize, oh, the culture here is very woke. This is in the 80s already. It started the political correctness, very anti-Republican, very anti-conservative, very anti-God. And I didn't know what to make of it because I wasn't really clear on what I believed. I was not conservative at the time. And so by the time I graduated, I was lost. I was like, what am I going to do with my life? I'm not one of these people that's just going to get a job and be successful. I wanted to be a writer. So I was thinking heavily about, who am I? What is the meaning of life? Mm-hmm. And can you even answer the question, or maybe there is no meaning to life. And that was kind of the idea you get. And a lot of these elite institutions give you these ideas in this day and age. In other words, this wasn't true 100 years ago, but when I got there and until today, they have been very lockstep, liberal, secular, humanist, liberal, and very anti-conservative and whatever. I remember, you know, when I was there, Reagan was the president, and man, they hated Reagan. They hated anything pro-American. They were like against. It's sick, but.
Go ahead. Yeah. Where does that come from?
That
because.
Other than the devil?
Well, we know it comes from the devil.
Other than hell? Yeah.
When we were coming up, there were certain things you did when you went to class. You had to stand up and you had to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right.
What happened to our country where the values and things that we need to, the things that the orthodox that we need to really love where we're at.
Yeah.
Yeah, that structure.
Right. Where is that at? Because now what you're saying, and you're saying this was happening going on in the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like they.
Oh, no, it goes back before that. I mean, you got to understand it trickles down, like trickle down economics, it trickles down in the culture. This stuff, you know, it has deep intellectual roots in the 19th century, but it doesn't trickle down into the colleges until the 20th century. And in this country, let's face it, it didn't really hit till the 60s. In the 60s, you begin to get the anti-hero narrative. We start seeing darker movies and they're kind of edgy and gritty. They don't have the happy ending. Something happened in the culture where we started noticing, just to give an example, right? Like I say, it's the same when you're walking with God, right? You want to know if there's sin so you can repent and move on, right?
Right.
So in this nation, you know, roughly in the 60s, we started getting serious about dealing with racism. We say, wow, that's been bad. Okay. We start dealing with how we treated the Native Americans and all that kind of stuff. So it's good to see that and to repent and to move on. But when you said, where did it come from? You know, I say the devil, I'm only half joking, because the devil wants to accuse you no matter what you do. He wants to accuse you and accuse you. So in this nation, we fought a war to end slavery. We went through the civil rights thing. We did the right thing, whatever. But part of the culture never, they don't want a happy ending. And so they kept, right, in a sense, rubbing these sins in the face of people, like, you're never going to be better. You're always going to be racist. And we hear this today, right? But that started in the 60s, that America's bad. America, you know, we were bad by going to Vietnam. We've been hurting people all around the world. Suddenly, instead of being a force for good, it's flipped and all of our sins are magnified. And people talk about that over and over and over again. Mm. And it became part of the culture. And when I say the culture, I mean the elite culture, Hollywood, the universities. And yeah, they start feeding this to people, right? And there's always truth in every lie, right? So these are lies, but they contain the kernel of truth that, yes, we have these sins. But God's view is like, you see the sin, you repent of the sin, and you move on, and you celebrate that you have overcome this sin. Well, the devil, all he wants to do is keep accusing you. You'll never get better. You'll never be good enough. You'll never. Right. So we kind of internalize that as a culture. And so TV and the movies and Hollywood, they reinforce these ideas from the 60s till now. And it's gotten worse and worse, obviously.
Yeah.
And whenever you talk about the devil comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. So let's look at how it's actually trying to kill the culture of Christianity, of conservatism. Let's look at how it's trying to steal our thoughts, our way of thinking, our difference of opinion. Let's look at how it's trying to destroy America, our values, our morals, even when it comes down to our children and this ideology that's being forced on them, you know, within school and within a system and so forth. And I'm listening to you, and I hear that you have a difference of opinion that have been disrespected. It's like,
definitely,
you see it from a different perspective. You hear it from a different way. Why won't anyone pay your opinion any attention? And when I look at today, where have the love for humanity gone?
Mm-hmm, right.
Where have it gone to?
Or just having a difference of opinion.
Well, listen, you got to understand that the idea that I will respect somebody with a different opinion, that comes from the Bible, right?
Yes.
In other words, if you throw God out, which is what, that's what communists do. That's so socialism, communism, woke thinking is cultural Marxism. They don't like the idea of God. They want to get rid of God. And when you get rid of God, you get rid of these beautiful ideas like love your enemy, pray for your enemy, love somebody you disagree with. Even if you disagree, you still love them and you're respectful. That goes in the garbage. And now it's all out war. And so you're seeing this now dramatically in the culture. I mean, this woke culture is the fruit of what I saw when I was in college. I only saw it for the first time. And you know, it's interesting. One of the reasons I love this president, Trump, is because I grew up in a working class environment. And I get that worldview, you know, that says this is a good country and we work hard and we do. It's a kind of a worldview. People in the elite culture, they don't really get that. They're almost self-hating, you know, they're kind of, all I really meant to say was that my father taught me to love this country. So I go to a place like Yale, and those ideas are kind of old fashioned, right? They're kind of beyond that. They're at the point where, no, we think America's bad. America's a force for bad. And Reagan is harmful. It never changed. I mean, it was Reagan, then it was Bush. You know, it's Rush Limbaugh if we don't have a Republican in the White House. But that kind of hatred of patriotism, hatred of anything having to do with God, it's really a Marxist worldview, and it takes different disguises, whether it's cultural Marxism or whatever you call the woke mentality or the far left. It's the same thing. It's anti-American and fundamentally anti-God.
Yes.
And it is.
It's like a cancer, because you said it started back in the 60s, and it eats away and it eats away. And then the next generation come on and they're fed it, and then the next generation. And pretty soon we have all of these people that hate America.
Yeah.
So is that why you have people sitting around, the global elitists or whoever sitting around, and they're okay with this new administration? We all know what happened up under our nose. We don't have to discuss it or talk about it. But this new administration dismantling everything that's going to help the American people.
Well, and they have a totally different worldview. Their worldview, you know, we say they're globalists. how can you be a globalist? What does that even mean? I mean, I know what the Constitution says, right? Mm-hmm. Globalists, what's their Constitution? They have none.
Eric, the reason why I call them global elitists is because they want to do what they see other countries do. And a lot of these countries are ruled by dictators. Mm-hmm. You see tyranny. And what I see is when you want to give me a handout, but you want to allow me to go back to work, when you take and you just pull jobs and I'm going to give you a check, what are you trying to do? You're trying to do like the people in the leaders in Venezuela?
Yeah,
you're ushering soft socialism.
Oh, it's not that soft.
Communism.
It's not that soft. No, yeah, look, this is why I love you guys.
Communism.
That's of course it is, and this is why we loved Trump, because he was able to see this clearly.
Right.
You have a lot of Republicans that they are cowardly and they're afraid to take on this fight. And part of the fight is fighting with China, which represents all this stuff in a huge, powerful nation.
Right.
They are a communist nation. They control their people. They oppress their people.
Yep.
They oppress the church. They oppress the Muslim minority. They do not have the values we have in America, where we have religious liberty. They have no religious liberty. If you don't believe the way the Chinese communist atheist elite believe, you will be persecuted. Now, Americans, we've had it so good. We don't even imagine that this evil exists in the world, and it's coming here now.
Right. It's already
Trump
here.
Trump saw that, and that's why he's a hero.
We have a Congress. We have Congress. We have Senate. Mm. Why would you allow China to take charge in America? See, I have to blame these people that's supposed to represent we the people, because we are a republic.
But that's the problem. They don't represent the people. They represent themselves. They can care less about the people. It's just like this Bible story where Jesus went in and to the temple because they was doing some obscene things there in
gambling
the temple.
Some damnable
things.
Like
some damnable things and some hypocritical things there within the temple, and how Jesus came there and basically uprooted that. Okay. So it reminds me of how our government has been doing some obscene, some damnable things when it comes down to our country, mm-hmm. and how President Trump went there and basically exposed the swamp. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's corruption and hypocrisy.
Exactly where our money's been going off, mm-hmm. and why this country continued to remain and stay stagnated. We got to see that. So this government that's supposed to be governing we the people, know what they're doing is using us as slaves. That's what I look at it. Mm-hmm. They're using us just like slaves,
right.
so that they can take this money right here and do what they want to mm-hmm. with it. And that's the point where it's going to take we, the American people, to realize we have constitutional rights. We have the Declaration of Independence. When are we going to stand up there with our values and let this government know you're supposed to work for us? Our tax dollars pay your salary.
People have understood this since the beginning of the Republic until recently. As we were saying, in the last decades, we've taught this less and less and less and less.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a book about that called If You Can Keep It, where Benjamin Franklin was asked, coming out of the Constitutional Convention, by a woman, Mrs. Powell of Philadelphia. She said, Dr. Franklin, what have you given us, a monarchy or a republic? Because they didn't know. What have they been cooking up in there in the summer of 1787? And he says, a republic, madam, if you can keep it. In other words, we the people must keep the republic. The government can't do that. The Constitution doesn't do it. We have to understand it. And it's kind of funny because you're saying we the people. If I move my head, you can see it says we the people on the club of Donald the Caveman, because I said we have to teach kids this stuff. So I wrote three books. I think we talked about that, but I wrote three mm-hmm. books in the Donald the Caveman series. Because I said, in some ways, these ideas are simple. Even children can understand these ideas. What does it mean that we're going to govern ourselves versus have somebody governing us? What does it mean that we have no corruption, where it's not about I got to pay people off to get access? No, mm-hmm. I have access because I'm an American. You know, those ideas, we have not promoted those ideas with young people. You stop saying the Pledge of Allegiance in school, you take God out of the school. This has been a steady drip since the 60s. So, you know, that I talk about it all the time. I wrote about it. I've never written children's books about it until I wrote the Donald books, because I thought he's such a hero. He's like a folk hero, and he's kind of like a caveman. He gets stuff done, you know, whatever. But the caveman books, actually, I should mention this since I got Mike Lindell standing behind me. He has a store now called mystore.com, and all the caveman books are at mystore.com. I want people to support Mike Lindell because he's so attacked. But if my code is Eric, right? I don't know if you guys have a code, but Mike Lindell has been a hero. He's been standing up to this, and people have mocked him. And I think to myself, most Americans, they know right and wrong. They see a hero and a champion, whether in a Mike Lindell or in a Donald the Caveman, who we know is a real guy named Donald Trump. They see that, and they don't say, well, he's got this wrong and that wrong. They say, this is somebody who gets these basic ideas, and the elites have kicked these ideas out. They hate these ideas. They hate the authority of God. They hate the idea of liberty and we the people. They hate these ideas, and finally, they have the power to try to get these ideas out forever. Well, we're not going to let that happen. I'm not, and you're not.
Well, not only that, but if you look at it, if you just really take a step back and look at everything right now, we can see that actually we are being bullied and held hostage by big tech and by our media,
that's right,
which is owned by six corporations. Mm-hmm. And if you don't go along with their narrative, then our FBI, the DOJ, these entities are weaponized against the people that's not going along with it. We are being held hostage in our own country by these entities, because where you get your information, if you see or you read or you hear something long enough, you start to believe it.
And that's where, exactly right. That's never happened in our lifetime until very recently. Until Trump became president, we never saw it so overt. Right. They came out of the closet. And I tell you, it's a chilling thing to see it happening in the greatest country in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And what happened in this election, what I really was shocked by, when they refused to cover the Hunter Biden laptop situation, I said, this is unbelievable. How can they look away? This is a story. You can't not talk about this. They refused to talk about it.
And they refused for other people to talk about it.
Yeah.
That was the damning thing. And even down to when it come down to this past election, the unconstitutional things that were done and not being able to bring forth what was unconstitutionally done, I have a big problem with that.
Yeah, because it's a setup. It's a setup where Republicans will never win another election.
Never.
They just give it to who they want to, and they use the media and even these social media tech giants to really push and sway the way they want things to go. We are being held hostage. We've been held hostage in our own country.
Yeah.
And it's an undercover hostage here. And if people got to take a step back and say, wait a minute, something is off here. And how do we get ourselves out of this here? We're going to have to dismiss these tech. We're going to have to get rid of this here stuff.
Yep.
And this here media, we're going to have to hit them where it hurts in their pockets.
Yep.
Turn it off.
Right.
Like, seriously.
Right. Yep.
It's That's just right. like what the Patriots did. I call them Patriots. Did with this GameStop stock.
Yeah.
When they drove the price up, but you had the elitists and the hedge funds thought, no, it needs to come down. And they beat them at their own game.
Right.
Yeah. But we follow the law. But something's got to give here.
Yep.
If this is social media, how they can only stand because they make money.
That's right.
But
that's
imagine right. if nobody was on that stuff where they could make money.
That's right.
Things will start changing.
Change.
Imagine if we would cut off all media that we know that's spewing disinformation
that's right.
to us and been doing it since for the whole year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Probably since President Trump been in office.
For a lifetime, it seems like.
That's why, don't look at what your political affiliation, because this is going to affect everybody. Martin Luther King have a quote, and it says, we may have all came over on different ships, but right now we're all in the same boat. Something to that tune.
That's exactly what he said.
All of us is in the same boat.
Yep.
Whether you're Republican or a Democrat.
That's right.
So right now it is about we the people. Drop the political affiliation.
Amen.
It's about we the people. How are we going to get ourselves out of this here? Because I can feel a taste of communism and socialism. I don't like waking up and feeling like I want to regurgitate. Not normal.
That's right.
You know, I was gonna say, I don't want to forget the book that is just out this week, my book, Fish Out of Water. I tell the story. The reason I understand that communism is evil is because of my parents.
Your parents.
My parents,
yeah.
Because they didn't grow up in America, they came here loving America. And they taught me communism is evil. Communism is godless. They have driven God out. They're atheists. They don't let you go to church. And I remember as a kid thinking, wow, that is evil. That's horrible. Mm-hmm. And most of the kids I grew up with, they didn't have any idea because their parents grew up in America. Everything was fine. And I think my parents really instilled that in me. And now it's one of the reasons I'm being so vocal is because right. I know things can get so bad if we don't stand up and speak up. And that's why I, you know, always bring up Mike Lindell. This guy's a hero.
He sure is.
We need to support him because they have tried to take him out. Everybody else looks the other way. They don't want to get involved. So when somebody steps up, you know, I want to support them basically. And,
Everybody needs to get involved. This is about all of our lives.
Our
it's
freedoms.
Not just about, oh, it's only going to affect, impact Republicans. Listen, when Biden signed these executive orders taking away these jobs, that also affected Democrats.
That's right.
When he signed an executive order where now the price of insulin is going to shoot up, that also affects Democrats. So right now, it's not about a party affiliation. Mm. It's about we the people.
Yeah.
Amen.
Listen, the book, Fish Out of Water.
Yeah.
Where can people find the book?
They can find the book everywhere. And if they want to get the Donald the Caveman books, they can find that everywhere too. But the cheap prices are at MikeLindellsMyStore.com. I'm so grateful to you guys cheer me up. You know that, right? I just get a smile on my face. You are a big blessing. And I'm thrilled you have a show. As you know, I also have a show. And I really do think that what you're talking about is happening. People are tuning away from the mainstream media and they're finding people that they trust. And we're in a battle, but we also believe in prayer. The Lord is with us. And there's so many people praying. There are so many people praying for this nation. Mm-hmm. There's going to be revival. We're not just going to survive. There's going to be revival in America. The fraud will be exposed. Mm. God can do these things. God can do it. And I just say that people need to know God is our hope. God is our hope. He's going to do it.
That's why we've been telling everybody, make sure you pray. You have to pray. See, after you've done all you can do is stand and be sure that God has the purpose. God has the plan to take and do whatever needs to be done here. It's going to take God to fight this evil.
Yeah.
It's not our battle. This battle, it belongs to the Lord. And
Hallelujah.
We have to let go and let God take care of all of this. We have to trust God.
And we know that prayer changes things.
We know that prayer totally and truly changes things.
People are going to see.
When you start talking about God, and one thing that a lot of people, whenever they read our book, they understand our faith. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that Diamond and Silk have is faith as a grain of a mustard seed.
Amen.
I don't care what it looked like, what it feels like, as long as you have faith to believe that God's going to work this thing out, all we need is patience.
Right.
Amen.
Be patient and let go and let God.
I don't even know if I mentioned it. That's the point of my book, Fish Out of Water, is at the end, God reveals himself to me and it changed everything. My politics changed. Everything changed once God came into my life. And I say, I want that for everybody, no matter what's going on, that you can look to God. People need to know that it's real. It's not just for those people over there. It's for everybody. If you believe in truth, if you love this country, let me tell you, that's God behind all that. And you need he wants you to come to him. So thank you for giving me the opportunity, ladies.
Thank you so much for being here. The book, you all, Fish Out of Water, you can find it anywhere. Any of your bookstores or anywhere they sell books, or you can go to Mike Lindell's website, and we'll have it on the lower third where you can purchase the book. We love you, Eric. Thank you so much
for being
on the show.
Love you too. Great to see you. Bless you guys.
God bless you.
Oh, Sook, that was a great conversation.
Yes.
Listen, thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so each time we drop a new episode, you will receive notification. And don't forget about our book, Uprising, Who the Hell Said You Can't Ditch and Switch? The Awakening of Diamond and Silk. You can get the book at diamondandsilkbookstore.com.
And if you're sick and tired of those social media platforms censoring your voices, then go on over there to Diamond and Silk new social media platform called Chatted. chatdit.com. Over there, we don't censor you. And don't forget to give us a review, and a 5-star will do.
Listen, we was just coming to give y'all the 211. We call it the 211 because it's two of us.
And we're the ones giving it to you.
So in the meantime and in between time, we will see you all next time right here on Diamond and Silk, the podcast.
Bye-bye.